I'll be right back.
All right. Thank you, Brother Poffman. Appreciate him jumping in today and taking care of the choir and the singing. Done a wonderful job. So I appreciate that. All right, Luke chapter 24 this evening. Luke chapter 24. What'd you look at me funny for? Oh, does it not sound like me? Oh, who sound like me? Okay. Luke chapter 24 this evening. We are going to partake of the Lord's Supper here in just a little while. And it's always a time of reflection. It's always a time, I believe, to hopefully bring our hearts back to a place of closeness with the Lord. And again, it's there's nothing special about the bread. It was made Saturday afternoon at my house. So my wife made the communion bread, and it's just bread. It doesn't magically turn into something. It's just bread. And that juice is probably Food Lion's best. Straight out of a grape. But it's not about the bread or the juice. It's about the Lord. And it's all about remembering Him. And, you know, it's sad that the Lord would have to tell us to remember Him. You'd think we would remember that. I was talking to Brother Roush and with Miss Nancy there in the nursing home. And if anybody's ever been around a nursing home, it doesn't take long to see there's some sad cases in nursing homes. There's a lot of people going through a lot of different things. But over the years, especially with the Alzheimer units that we used to work over in Iredell County, they might not know what day of the week it is or what their own name is, but you start singing Amazing Grace. It's amazing that light comes on. So I praise the Lord for that truth. We're going to look at something tonight. We're going to do a little preaching, and then we'll take of the Lord's Supper. We won't be long probably on the preaching side, but just wanted to share. We always like to try to draw our attention to something maybe to help us as we take of the Lord's Supper. And this being Resurrection Sunday, and hopefully our thoughts have been, and shouldn't just be on today, as I've said before, every day you ought to rejoice. He's alive. He's alive. And but here in Luke chapter 24, we give the account of the right after the crucifixion. And we're going to read about some people, just like you and I, been in this whole scene of what's taking place as they've watched the Lord. They've seen Him being took to jail. They've watched as He's been tried. They noticed as they abused Him. And they watched probably as He drug that cross up to Calvary. And they watched and listened as the soldiers drove those nails in His hands and His feet. They watched all the festivity of that time of the what took place there with the two thieves on either side, and they watched as the soldier pierced his side there with that spear and heard what he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And all those things they watched as he took that last breath. And let me say this, and some of you, probably most of you know, but crucifixion is not a pretty thing. I've never seen it in person, but what I've read and what I've studied and things that I've heard, that crucifixion was a horrific way of dying. It was a slow death. It was a torturing type of death. They had the body in such a way that when the body would slump down, it would cut off their air system, so they would have to pick themselves up to breathe. That's the reason they wanted to break his legs, because they would break their legs to make them die quicker if it lasted too long. But they didn't. We know that none of his bones were broken. But again, it was horrific, and what they'd heard and what they'd seen and the outcome. And you know, these followers of Christ, their hearts were many times like ours, discouraged. Many times we lose that fire of what we used to have for the Lord because of circumstances, maybe our own health, maybe situations in the home, maybe things at work, just different things. Maybe things don't go the way you think they ought to go. And we let little things, you know, start to get in our lives, and those little things become big things. And before you know it, you're out of church or you're out of fellowship with the Lord. And, you know, it's just that cycle. And that's what we see here, even this quickly, right after the crucifixion of these followers here. So let's read this evening, Luke chapter 24, if you can and you would. Let's stand together as we read Luke chapter 24. We're going to read several verses tonight. We don't have time to read all the beginning parts of it. That's what we read this morning in earlier there. But verse 13 is where we're at tonight. The Bible says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things that which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." You know, a lot of times we don't see Christ in our problems. A lot of times we overlook what the Lord might be doing or showing us. Verse 16, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" You know, tonight I see a lot of sad people along the way. Again, I know that it's not a thought of always being happy, because happy comes from happenings, but there ought to be joy in our hearts. As we heard so many times today, over and over through song, through the messages, God's the winner, amen. We're winning because of Christ. But here we find these two are sad. And I don't know your heart tonight as we get ready to take of the Lord's Supper here in a little bit. Maybe you are a little sad. But why don't you work some things out here in just a little while with the Lord and get beyond yourself? Because that's what it is. It's yourself. So just think about that for a moment. Verse 18, "And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted." That's where it usually begins. "Lord, we thought you would do this," or "Lord, we thought you would do that. We trusted you to do." Always remember that God makes no mistakes. But they say, "But we trusted," verse 21, "that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they had found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive." You know, I have a wondering why they would even leave with that information. Apparently they didn't believe it was true, huh? I wonder this evening in our hearts, do we really believe it's true? Do we really live our lives in such a way that we believe it's true? Verse 24, "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and this day is far spent. And we went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he said at meat with them, he took bread." And we're going to take some bread here in a little bit. The Bible says, "And he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them." And verse 31 says, "Their eyes were opened and they knew him." Boy, tonight it'd be good for all of us to get back to that place where we knew him. Oh, preacher, I know him, but do you really know him? Paul knew him, but Paul even had a desire that I may know him. Tonight it ought to be our desire, as they said, they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were there with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and then in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Sure thank you, Lord, again for your love. God, thank you for how you've met our needs, God, Lord. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, as we just look upon these words, these beautiful picture of what you've done there for these folks. I pray tonight, God, as we've gathered here tonight, Lord, I pray, God, you'd fresh our minds. God, maybe there's some here tonight, God, that's sad, just as these are sad. Maybe there's some tonight, God, that's sort of drawn away and their understanding has been clouded. I pray tonight, God, you remove whatever it is. God, that we could just see you as who you really are. And God, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that our hearts would burn, God, in such a way that we just have a zeal about us, God, to be closer to you. And Lord, just have your will and way here this evening, Lord. And we'll thank you. We'll praise you for all you do. For it's in your precious name we do pray and we do ask. Amen. You can be seated this evening. And I know this evening these are probably very familiar scriptures for us tonight, as we've gathered here on a Sunday evening, and I've preached I don't know how many times out of these verses, but again tonight I believe it's a great picture after all that we've heard this morning about the thoughts of the resurrection and what Christ has done for us. And here we come again to seeing some people that loved God. They had followed him. They had heard him. They had seen him. But all those things that they had seen coming up to this place of the crucifixion and all these things that had taken place, their heart was burdened. Their soul was drawn away from that true love. And tonight, I just want to encourage you tonight to let God examine you. And tonight, and we're looking at revival coming up in a few weeks. And friend, I don't know about you, but I really feel like we need a revival. And personally, we need reviving. Our church needs reviving. Because if we're not careful, we'll just continually go through the motions. And what we're doing, I believe, is right. We're trying to hit the scriptures. We're trying to stay in the book and do all those things that we can to be an outreach to our community and to the world. But even doing the right things, a lot of times we lose the right love or the right motive of why we do the things that we do. So here tonight we see these disciples, these followers, as all these things have taken place and they have turned to go back to where they came from. Friend, I don't want to go back to where I come from. Listen, I grew up in a good home. I grew up in a home that loved the Lord, that took me to church. But I don't want to go back to the world. I don't want to go back to a lost side of this world. I want to get closer to the Lord. And tonight, just as we see here, I believe there's some things that you and I can do as we see here in these scriptures that will help us to draw closer unto Him. Now, God doesn't change. The problem is not the Lord. The problem is I or you. Something in our lives has kept us from being what we need to be. Now, the Bible here talks about as these disciples, after all that took place and after the Lord reveals Himself and then as He vanishes away, the Bible gives a wording there about their heart. Did their heart not burn? Do you remember a time when your heart burned for the things of God? Do you remember a time when you couldn't get enough of the Bible, or you couldn't get enough of church, and you couldn't tell enough about what God had done in your life? I believe if you're saved tonight, there ought to have been that time. It ought to be still today. their hearts burn because of the Lord. And tonight as we remember what Christ has done for us through the Lord's Supper, as we think about that broken body, as we think about that blood, look at all that Christ has done. As we look there in 1 Corinthians there, we didn't read all of it this morning, but if you go back and look at that, it talks about how we're debtors. How we need to go and do something. Why? Because not that we're commanded to go do it, but because of what He's done for us. So we see here these disciples, these followers. The Bible again describes them as sad. They're troubled. Even Christ asked them, why are you mumbling? Why are you talking this way? And they look and say, have you not heard? Heard what? And they begin to pour their heart out how they had put their trust in something, in someone, and now it seemed like all that they put into it is going away. That's the reason as a preacher I don't want to fail. Amen. Because I know if I fall or I fail, it affects not just me. It's going to affect my family. It's going to affect people that's put trust into me to try to be that shepherd that God's called me to be. But you also, you ought not want to fall. You shouldn't want to fail because there's people that's watching you. There's people that's observing you. So again, we find here these disciples were sad, but God tells us again that after what God has done, that's what we're going through here in just a little bit. There's three things I see here in these verses that God uses to get their hearts to burn. Now I know I've built many a fire in my day. We tried to build a fire probably a few months ago now. It took an act of God almost to make the fire burn. Everything was wet. Everything was green. They just didn't want to burn physically. But you know, tonight, if there could be some things, first of all, and I want to speak of that just for a moment, that might prevent us from burning. Now, again, I was in the fire department for many, 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 many years. Saw many, many things burned. And we've studied as we had to go through our training of what it takes to make a fire burn. There's a triangle. There's three things it takes to make a fire burn. It takes a fuel, it takes air, and it takes something to spark it. Well, there's about the same purpose in our lives. It takes three. Something about the number three in God, amen? But again, it's a Sunday night. It's Resurrection Sunday night. Most churches ain't having church. But you're here. Apparently you wanted to be here. But is your heart burning? Remember Peter? He mused by the enemy's fire. Sometimes our hearts don't burn for the things of God, but they burn for the things of the flesh. But tonight, what's caused your heart not to burn? What's caused that fire to damper down? What's caused that fire not to glow and to produce? You know, fire eats. Fire produces. I've said it over and over and over again. If somebody or someone would be willing to let God set them afire, it'd be amazing how it would help burn the rest of us. You could be that one if you'd let God use you. But again, we find here that the Bible says that their hearts burned. One of the quickest way to put out a fire, if we had a fire this evening, what's the first thing most people look for when you put out you're going to put out a fire? Water. It's what the fire departments use all the time, isn't it? Water. Water is one of the easiest way to put out fire. And there's things that water down our lives. We get too busy in the world. We get things out of ways of that this is more important than what the Lord is. All guilty. It could be work, it could be play, it could be school, it could be anything. The second way that we can put out water or put out fire is to smother it. Put something over it and kill the air away from it. And again, I believe a lot of times people smother out the fire of God in their lives because of their flesh. And the flesh overwhelms that fire and it smothers it out. And the third way you put out a fire is you take away the fuel part of it. If there's no wood, there's no fire. And friend, tonight, if you're not fueling your fire, that fire will go out. What are you ingesting? What are you putting into your body? What are you putting into your ear gates? What are you putting into your eye gates? Are you fueling that fire? So tonight we want to talk about that fire and look at three things real quickly this evening that the Lord Himself used to get two followers that were walking away to get to the back to the place that their hearts burn. The very first thing, and I love this because the very first thing the Lord did is did what? He opened up what to them? The Scriptures. See, tonight there's no way to get away from the Word of God. If your heart's going to burn, if our church is going to be on fire for God, it's got to be centered around the Word of God. And I really feel like that's probably where we're losing a lot of people in our day is people don't read the Bible. People don't study the Word of God. They're listening to whatever they're listening to. They're hearing things that, well, that makes sense in their mind. But what does the Bible say? So we find here this evening, look here with me here in these verses. Look in verse 25 this evening. Verse 25, then said he of them, O fools and slow to heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Tonight it's not just hearing, and it's not just reading, but do you believe what you hear? Do you believe what you read when it comes to the things of God? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And look at verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Man, this book here is amazing. We're talking about the crucifixion. We're talking about the resurrection. And the Lord Himself took that Old Testament book and opened it up unto them and began to speak unto them through those books in the Old Testament, the books of Moses and the prophets, and showed Himself all through that book. I've always wondered, it'd be a wonderful way to test ourselves tonight. Can you go to Genesis and find the resurrection? Can you go to Genesis and find the crucifixion? Can you go over to the prophets and the minor prophets and see God's plan of the crucifixion? It's all there. It all started there even before it all began in what we see in the beginning, God. God had a place that He was going to send His Son to die. Tonight, you want your heart to burn? You want to get back to that place? And see, again, I don't know if you do or not. But I can promise you this evening, if you're not feeding that fire, if you're not putting the Scriptures into your life, you're not having a heart that will burn for the things of God. So first of all, if we're going to see a heart that's on fire, if we're going to have a church that's on fire, we've got to have the Scriptures. And we must expound those Scriptures. And listen, sometimes we get busy at finding, and I love the Word of God, but listen to me. Look for Jesus in them. Don't just read through it and think, well, I don't see nothing there. Find the Lord. He's in there. So they, first of all, for these disciples, these followers that had turned away from the Lord, the first thing their heart to burn is He used the Scriptures. The second thing, and sort of what we're doing tonight, the Bible says there, and it came to pass, verse 30, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished away. First of all, if we're going to have fire, if we're going to see the Lord work in our hearts, we're going to have the Scriptures. He expounded the Scriptures. But the second thing we find here is that communion that He shared with them. He walked with them. He went home with them. He sat down with them. He broke bread with them. They had communion together with the Lord and themselves, and that caused their eyes to be opened and their hearts to burn. And I wonder, when's the last time you spoke with the Lord? When's the last time you walked with the Lord? When's the last time you just couldn't help it because God was bubbling in your soul? We act like that ought to be a foreign thing, but it ought to be a very common thing. The Lord ought to be the most exciting thing in our lives. But because of cell phones and internet and all these other things that we've wowed ourselves with, God seems to be way back on the burner. But I promise you, you start walking with Him in communion. Hey, He promised. You want Him, He'll commune with you. So tonight, we need the Scriptures. Tonight, we need that communion. We need that fellowship. We need that love for just seeing God working in our life. Friend, I don't know about you, but when He's not around, I wonder why. When I don't feel His presence, I know He's always here. He said He'd never leave me, but when I can't feel Him, when I can't see Him, when I can't hear Him, I want to know what the problem is in my life. Because I desire that communion. Listen, if I couldn't talk to her, I'd go crazy. Why? Because I love our communion. I love our fellowship. I need it. I have to have it. But as much as I need that in the physical sense, friend, how do we think we're going to survive in this world without that communion spiritually? Preacher, I just don't understand. He's alive. He's working and moving in our hearts, or He ought to be. But it all goes back to, are you reading this book? Are you praying? Are you studying? Are you seeking Him? Are you having that communion? Their hearts began to burn because of the Scriptures, because of the communion. And the last part of it this evening is, I believe it's part of that fire, but it's also a result of the fire. The Bible says in verse 32, and they said one to another, did our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? And notice verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how it was known of them in the breaking of bread. Three things about the fire. First of all, it takes the Scriptures. He expounded them. The Scriptures unto them. Second of all, He communed with them. And after that, the third thing that just kept the fire flaming a little higher is they got up from that state of sadness, that state of doing nothing. And they got up and went back to where they were supposed to be, excited about what God had done. And what did they do when they got there? He's alive! What y'all said was true. He showed Himself to Simon and He showed Himself to us. We saw Him. And they began to work. They began to do something for Him. Tonight, that'll build a fire. That'll get that fire a-blowing. That'll get that flame up and going. It'll get the wind starting to blow, and that flame will get higher and higher and higher. And then you put in some more Scriptures, and you put in some more communion, and you keep working and working. That flame will just begin to roll. And you know what'll happen? Somebody else will get a little bit of flame off of you. Unless there's some water put on you. Unless there's some smothering there. Or somebody takes away that fuel. Their hearts burned. Tonight I wonder, don't you want your heart to burn? Don't you want to have that feeling that they felt? Don't you want to get back to that place when God felt so real to you? Hey, I remember times in my life, I've testified about it before. I'd be driving down the road. It seems like it's when I have more time to be with God because I turn everything off. I'm by myself. Nothing's bothering me. And I'll get to talking to God. And I've had times before, Brother Rick, it just seemed like God was sitting right there. He was that real. Well, guess what? It was that real. When's the last time you had that in your life? Church, where's the fire going out of the church? It's a sad day in America. I've been in this thing, been pastoring about 16 and a half years altogether now. Been saved since I was 13. Well, actually pastoring more than that, counting youth pastoring. Brother Rick, I've seen such a cycle. I'm going to say 10 years ago, it seemed like everybody was running to the feel-good type churches. These upbeat, modernistic, contemporary type places. It seemed like there was such a fight to keep people's minds centered on the truth of the Word of God and keep people, even people that were in good, independent, fundamental Baptist churches, sticking in here and not running to this worldly mess. But I've seen such a change over the last 5 years that people don't even care about that crowd anymore. They don't care about anything anymore. They don't even care about themselves anymore. We need a burning. We need a fire. We need something to consume us. It starts with the Scriptures. The Scriptures will draw us closer to and to a place of communion. You can't help but get in this book and not Him talk to you. Even an old blind squirrel, they say, will find a nut every once in a while. You just start digging around in this book, you'll be amazed. And then when that Scripture and that communion begins to work, it'll just explode. There's a point in fires, and you've probably seen it on TV and different things. I've seen it in person. I've been in it before. The house will be on fire, and it'll be a small fire. But as that fire is burning, it's consuming and consuming and consuming to the place that that room will get so such an environment that it explodes all at once. The fire started right over here. But as it began to burn and get hotter and begin to consume the gases and to begin to build up in that room, when it got to that right condition, it just exploded. And the whole place would be on fire. See, I think the same thing could happen in our church if we could get a little bit of fire going in some little place. And if that little fire would just burn and burn and burn, and maybe to get the church to the place that it gets all the conditions and the combustible things are beginning to get right, and all of a sudden I think there could be an explosion of fire. But do you want it? I don't know how much we want it. But they testified to the fact that their hearts did burn. I believe if you're saved tonight, there was a time in your life, maybe you're there tonight, I don't know. I can say I'm not like I used to be. But if I'll get back in this book, and I'll seek His face, and I'll get up off my knees as I spent time with Him and go tell somebody else what He said to me, the fires will begin to burn. Let's stand together this evening.